Welcome to the Entrepreneurial Leap Podcast. I'm your host, Rob Dubay. For context, this podcast is inspired by the book Entrepreneurial Leap by Gino Wickman. Gino is the founder of EOS Worldwide and an author with over 2 million copies of his books sold worldwide. Now, in his next phase, he is taking his passion for helping entrepreneurs by partnering with five equally passionate, successful entrepreneurs, myself included, who have created the eLeap Academy, where we teach the content from the book in a one-year program guaranteed to increase the success of early stage businesses. Now, a quick note about me. I've been an entrepreneur since the age of 14 when I started my first business selling blow pop lollipops out of my locker with my best friend. I ran a company that I sold to a public company and later bought back. I'm an author, speaker, host of an annual leadership retreat, and I'm partners in several other businesses. I'll be your host for the Entrepreneurial Leap Podcast, where every other week, you will be hearing life stories from successful entrepreneurs who took the leap into entrepreneurship. You will learn from their mistakes and successes and be inspired as you move forward on your journey. Now, before I introduce my guest, I'm going to share with you a bit about eLeap Academy. The Entrepreneurial Leap Academy provides an immersive 9-month experience for new entrepreneurs with a focus on the three C's: clarity, confidence, and community. Let's start with the first C, clarity. You will learn to be clear about who you are, what you want from your business, and how to get it. The next C, confidence. You will learn to be confident you are on the right path, equipped with powerful mindset tools. The last C, connected. You will become connected to a community of entrepreneurs just like you. Now, all participants receive 4 full-day in-person classes led by experienced entrepreneurs to equip you with the tools and strategies necessary to build a successful business. The Academy's dynamic community connects participants with a tribe of like-minded individuals for support and networking opportunities during and between classes. Students also receive a seasoned mentor offering personalized guidance and expertise to help you navigate the challenges of entrepreneurship. To start building the business of your dreams, visit our website at e-leap.com. Again, that's e-leap.com. There, you can learn more about and sign up for the next Entrepreneurial Leap Academy. Today's guest is Justin Breen. Justin is the founder and CEO of the global PR firm Brepik and the exclusive connectivity platform Brepik Network. Brepik Network is an invitation-only premium connecting platform for the who's who in business, philanthropy, and global leadership. The Brepik Network brings simple yet powerful technology to this network of visionary leaders and connectors, leaders who want instant, credible, and vetted access to other leaders, and they want results in deliverable fashion at an exponential rate. Justin's latest book, Epic Life, features a foreword from Dr. Peter Diamandis and has been the number one overall book for sales on Amazon Kindle. It also recently made the Wall Street Journal and USA Today bestseller lists. Justin keeps things simple, has his priorities super clear, stays in his sweet spot, and will bring you lots of wisdom you may not be accustomed to hearing. So please enjoy my chat with Justin Breen. Justin, it is so great to see you again. Thank you for doing this. I really appreciate your time.
You're welcome. It is a great honor.
Is it? Come on.
Yes. Yeah,
I'm just teasing you.
No, I mean, like, the purpose of my life is connecting visionaries to serve.
That's right.
Humanity, and then you're, I mean, so, yeah, I mean, 6 years ago, I had job salary cut in half. Well, six and a half now.
We'll get to that.
I mean, so to be here, I mean, I'm very grateful and honored.
So great. I always like to start with a quote. And so I'm going to do that. And so, you know, just give me what kind of comes to mind as you hear this. It goes like this. It doesn't matter where you are located. Doesn't matter the vertical you're in. And it doesn't matter how big the company you're in. None of that matters. If you have the right mindset, it attracts the right network, creates the right opportunities. So I wonder, first, do you know who said that? And second, do you know what comes to mind for you when you hear it?
Thank you. You're an incredible relator, includer, and you quote the people you're interviewing, which is a very smart, very smart strategic way of really building immediate trust and kindness. So thank you for saying that. I live a very simple life. From the outside, it doesn't appear that way, but really it's very simple. I do two things. One, spend time with my family, and then two, talk to people like you and connect people like you to other people like you. And that all starts with having the right mindset of a visionary abundance investment mindset, which attracts other visionary abundance investment mindset folks, which creates endless amazing opportunities like this one.
Mm-hmm. So great. You know, I was thinking about you in the business that you originally got into, which is journalism.
Yeah.
Correct?
Yeah.
And, but if you go before that, because you became an entrepreneur.
Yeah.
But growing up, were you entrepreneurial in any way? Was that a mindset for you?
Well, I think people like us never fit into traditional society. We're usually aliens. And I've talked like this most of my life, and people would just stare at me. So I didn't even know what an entrepreneur was until starting first company after job salary got cut in half in 2017. But I'd always felt and talked like this. So I was an entrepreneur without knowing it.
Uh-huh. I love it. You just, you somehow knew intuitively, but you didn't know it. And, you know, so 6 years ago, I think if I did my math right, you ventured out after you had the salary cut or something?
Yeah, the salary cut, yeah.
The salary cut, I love this. This is what prompted it for you. Yeah. And I'm curious, you know, obviously you're still doing what you started doing.
Yeah.
And has it become the ideal business for you? And in what ways, if any, has it changed?
Tremendous, tremendous questions and simplification. Again, very simple person, very simple. So for 20 years before starting this, I was an entrepreneur who happened to be a journalist. I did not know that until job salary was cut in half. I didn't know that, but I was always writing about and connecting cool people changing the world when I was doing journalism. So now write about and connect cool people changing the world. Okay, so none of that has changed, the fundamental purpose. However, what has changed is the way that's done. You started with a quote from me, which is very interesting, but my favorite quote is from Earl Nightingale, the OG. My favorite quote of his is, success is the progressive realization of a worthy ideal. Success is the progressive realization of a worthy ideal. My worthy ideal has always been connecting visionaries to serve humanity. So I didn't know that until really starting this. But so originally, originally connecting visionaries to serve humanity was through journalism, through media. Okay, so that was 20 years. Then it became, and still is, running global PR firm where it's connecting visionaries to serve humanity through opportunities like this, interviews, podcasts, TV, whatever, newspapers. And that's connecting visionaries to visionaries like this, and then visionary interviews vision. And then what I learned during this process of being interviewed and listening to visionaries like you is what the PR firm actually was and is a giant incubator of geniuses, and we're constantly introducing each other for mutual gain. The byproduct is I'm constantly getting intros to people like you around the world.
Mm-hmm.
So what that became is Newest Company, which is essentially a SaaS platform, a mastermind of visionaries, connecting visionaries to serve humanity, where I have a partner in San Francisco. I'm in Chicago. We've met 2 times in person over 2 years. He does 8- and 9-figure deals all day. That's not my world. And then my wife is transitioning out. I believe this is new since we last talked, but my wife is now transitioning out of pediatrics as she's the COO of Newest Company. And she just hired her first person because success is progressive realization of a worthy ideal. And very grateful. Maybe by the time this airs, we're going to be named one of top 5 masterminds on planet, because it's connecting visionaries to serve humanity.
Amazing.
And it's, thank you. It all starts with the same thing that you started this interview with, which was brilliant. If you have the right mindset, it attracts the right network and creates the right opportunities. It's mm-hmm. the same formula. And you constantly progressive realization of that worthy ideal, that formula.
Yeah. You know, in the book, Entrepreneurial Leap, Gino writes about the story of the dream. And as I hear you speak about your progression and this new company,
yeah,
it kind of sounds like the dream. Is that fair to say?
It's a dream in real time.
Yeah.
It's a progressive realization of that dream by having the right mindset, which creates that network of people like you that help the dream become a reality.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I'm very simple. And most of my day is talking to top ideators, top dreamers, top ideators. And most of them, not all, but most are ADD, ADHD, diagnosed or undiagnosed. They're all over the place. Not a disorder, not a disorder. And I am ultra focused. And most of the top visionaries, without a team of humans, integrators behind them, there will be no reality from that dream. But they realize that I'm the rare person. Integrating visionary where I have high quick start and high follow through.
Yeah.
And very aware of I only have 2 strengths. 1 being family person, 2 connecting visionaries to serve humanity. And I'm useless to society besides that. And know that my partner and my wife and all the people they're bringing into the company, I don't even go to the backstage meetings. I never go because I would destroy the company. But I'm very aware of that. And I think that's super important for dreamers to be aware of what they know, and more importantly, what they don't know or what they're not good at.
You know, that brings us to, you know, something again that we teach and that is written about in the book, which are some of the must-dos that we recommend to early stage entrepreneurs.
Yeah.
And what I hear from you is staying in your sweet spot. How have you been able to stay in your sweet spot like that?
So I like to learn in real time. So I very rarely prepare for interviews, because this is how you learn in real time.
Mm-hmm.
You like, oh, you get the great question, and then you think about the answer, and then, oh, I just learned something about myself, and maybe that can help others learn about themselves. Maybe help them learn about themselves as well. So there are two things, two answers. One, my Colby, where I've High Quick Start and High Follow Through and High Fact Finder, it's like if you combined a visionary with an integrator, it would be me. So I'm like, yeah. I'm literally two people in one. That's just how it is. That's how it is.
Yes, so the rare person who has that. Yep.
Correct. So I think you're either born like that or you're not. So there are strengths and weaknesses to having that Colby, but literally my Colby, K-O-L-B, means I've got this, which for first company, fine. There's some freelancers. For second company, I can't build a SaaS platform. So that was okay. So the second thing is, and this is what I really thought about today, not knowing you were going to answer or ask that question, but again, you think about it and then the question brings it up. What I did far differently than probably everyone you've talked to, or certainly most, is I built my family and purpose first. What does that mean? I was a journalist for 20 years. You don't get into that for business owner stuff. You don't get into that for, I don't know what an S corp is. I don't care about that. I didn't know you had to pay taxes four times a year. Like, I don't care about an employee account. I don't care about any of that stuff. I never will. Never. It's not important to me. So because I was a journalist, I had a built-in purpose, knowing that my family and purpose were far more important. Like, I didn't even know what businesses did. Like, I didn't, from the inside, I didn't even know what businesses did. So I, just because of background, reverse engineered what was important in life for me. And what I see, I guess, with the typical visionary, and I know you, I'm sure you see this, is they think by building the business that will allow them to have the purpose and family. And many times that's why I wrote Epic Life. It's how to build collaborative global companies while putting your loved ones first. But so by building the business first, they actually torch the family and the purpose. For me, I had the purpose and the family, so the businesses were the extension of that. Mm-hmm. That's all they are to me.
Yeah. And check out Epic Life. It's a Wall Street Journal best-selling book, USA Today. And you did an amazing job with that.
Thank you.
On top of running these businesses, is there anything that you wish you knew in the early stages?
No. Nothing.
Because you don't.
No.
I love it.
No, because that's, you can't, no. No, why would I go? I mean, no, because I like to learn in real time.
Yeah.
And again, because of the path I had, this is the life I have now. So why? I'm not going to change any of that. No.
We talk about these six essential traits that we believe entrepreneurs must possess. Visionary, passionate,
yep.
Problem solver, driven,
yes.
Risk taker, responsible. Yep.
Six is the most important.
You got them?
I always know the number six.
Number six. Responsible.
Yeah.
That's the number, one that, yeah.
Number one. Yeah. Because a true visionary would never blame someone else ever. And I'll whenever I write a third book, like I've already got the chapters there. I just, as the second company takes off, the third book will be more about my wife's transition out of pediatrics.
Amazing. Yeah.
Yeah. Because like the way we talk doesn't necessarily resonate. Well, I know it doesn't. It doesn't resonate with most people. What my wife is doing, she's a pediatrician.
Right.
Phasing out of that into this world, that resonates with, that resonates with far more people than how we live. Okay. So that book will be about her. And then how chapters for books are built is I talk to people like you, and then once a month, maybe once or twice a month, there'll be a really transformational idea. I'll write it down, and then that becomes a chapter. Okay.
I love it.
Every chapter for the next book, except one currently, there's only one where the idea came from me. Only one out of like 45. And that'll get whittled down to 30 or so. But there's only one where I came up with, and it answers the six essential traits.
Uh-huh.
So the chapter will be called don't blame the umpire and other things visionaries would never do. And what that chapter is. So our sons are 9 and 11 currently. They are both very good athletes on travel baseball, soccer, what, you know, all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So for that, you go out into human world and you see how, I guess, the typical person acts, the non-visionary. And so what you see, we'll talk about umpire baseball. You see the umpire who many times, by the way, is an older teenager, young adult, they'll make a mistake, right? And then you will see most adults yelling at the umpire, and then, or an umpire made a tough call and you lost the game. So the adults blame the umpire, and then their children see that, and then they start blaming the umpire. And I look at those type of things as like a science project. And then after the game, I will tell my children, visionary never blames the umpire. You could have done more in that game to win the game.
Yeah.
And that's why, to me, those six essential traits, the number one essential is responsibility.
Yeah. It also goes right into these different stages that we teach and that we write about, that Gino writes about, which is holding yourself accountable.
100%.
Yeah. Talk about mentors. Did you have mentors? Have they been
every day
to you? Yeah. Okay. Please expand.
Okay. So again, learn in real time. And another chapter for next book will be every meeting is an opportunity for mentorship. That's from Scott Danner, great visionary. He's a 9 quick start. He's a genius. Again, we talk quite a bit. And then he said that, I'm like, oh, that's a great idea. Every meeting is an opportunity for mentorship. So every meeting like this, to me, is an opportunity for mentorship. So that's one. Two, very grateful. I've been surrounded by some of the top visionary mentors on the planet. And then three, my father was the greatest mentor, not necessarily being a visionary, even though he was, but because of the wisdom he had in his life. My father was 61 when I was born, and he died when I was 13. He was born in 1916, and he was shot down multiple times in combat in World War II, many times without a parachute, and would get back into another plane. So to me, that's, you either can do that, you take responsibility, risk taker, driven, problem solver. You better be a problem solver.
Yeah.
So that's like, and that's my litmus test. You either can do that or you make an excuse. And I frankly don't understand anyone who would blame someone else. I don't. So, and then when he was alive, he would say the cream rises to the top. So that's chapter one of Epic Life.
Mm.
And so to me, that's it. Like, visionaries are the cream that rises to the top through those six essential traits. Again, no excuses, responsibility. That's how you rise to the top, by taking responsibility.
Yeah. You know, it sounds like you really tuned in to lessons that your dad was teaching you, and just through the way he was living his life. What would you recommend to an early stage entrepreneur on how to cultivate a mentorship type relationship? Because you are saying you're being mentored all day long by talking to all these amazing visionaries. They may not have that opportunity, but maybe they have the opportunity with one or two amazing visionaries. So what kind of feedback would you give them?
It's a great question. And it's a great question because, one, every day's mentorship for me. And then two, I completely understand what the early stage folks are going through, because I was one of those people 6 years ago with zero business background. I totally understand. So the simplest way for me to answer that, because I'm a simplifier and my brain turns everything into patterns, and this absolutely applies to ELEAP and what you've built and what you're continuing to build. Okay. It's the same. It's the answer. It's an all-encompassing answer to me. So I keep making bigger investments to be in smaller rooms, but the people in those rooms are making bigger impact. That allows me to spend biggest investment in smallest room, which is my family, where I can make the most impact. and then created Own Room, which is smaller room, bigger investment, but people in those rooms are making bigger impact, connecting visionaries to serve humanity. That's pretty big impact.
Yeah.
And then, so it's the same formula, and then you create your own formula. So, okay, so this applies to ELEAP. It applies to ELEAP. So the first, I guess, I mean, if you want to call it a mastermind, whatever, or networking room, the first one I was in was $250 a year. It was always an investment, never a cost, ever. Always an investment. Then it was a $500 room. Then it was a $2,000 room, a year US. Then it was $5,000. Then it was $10,000. Then it was $25,000. And you just keep making those bigger investments. And that's the most important thing, is to make those investments to be in those rooms, because you will find the mentors there. And just as importantly, you will find people that, where it doesn't resonate with you, if you're a true visionary, the cream that rises to the top, you'll just keep making bigger investments. Mm-hmm. You'll just keep writing the bigger and bigger check.
Mm-hmm. Where did you learn or begin to realize that this ongoing investment was going to be so important for you in your business career, in your entrepreneurial career? Wait, can I just follow up on that real quick?
Yes. Yes, you can.
As early stage entrepreneurs who are trying to generate cash,
yes,
that's a hard one for them to swallow sometimes.
No, no.
Right?
No,
so no. How do you reconcile? Yeah, please.
No.
Go.
Nope. My litmus test is my father shot down multiple times in combat many times without, no.
Yeah.
So here, again, my brain simplifies everything into patterns. Business owners, consultants, humans, there's a fundamental difference between a business owner, a human, a consultant, and an entrepreneur. Fundamental difference. Fundamental difference. The first group, they look at things as costs. They make excuses. Visionary entrepreneur, nope. Risk taker, you already answered your own question with those six essential traits. An entrepreneur will not, no, they will not look at it like that.
Mm-hmm.
They will make the investment. They will find a way. With first company, global PR firm, only partners with visionaries, I have zero business background. Six and a half years now. We partner with multiple billionaires, multiple gajillionaires, multiple multimillionaires, multiple millionaires. Okay, so, and then I think 10 folks now, maybe 11, that have been dirt broke. No, nothing.
Uh-huh.
Don't make it. There are no excuses at the highest level. None. Not at the highest level. And then there are four things that separate a true visionary from the other world. Only four. One, bankruptcy or potential bankruptcy. I think this is what's in the Shine book.
This is listed in our upcoming book, okay. Shine, which comes out in March of 2023.
Yes.
And which we have quoted you on.
Okay. Thank you. I'm endlessly grateful to be in that. I mean, again.
Oh, we're grateful to you.
It's like I'm every day a grateful journal, like to be in a you and Gino. I mean, Gino Wickman, like I'm endlessly grateful. Okay. So I'll land the plane, which I don't like to do, but so there are four things.
Yeah.
This is in the book. So four things. So one, bankruptcy or potential bankruptcy. Two, depression.
Yeah.
Three, highest level of anxiety you can imagine. Four, likely and or possible traumatic experiences as a child or young adult. So Gino, by the way, has said many times he's all four of those things.
Yeah, yes.
Most of the people I talk to are, almost everyone I talk to is at least three of those four things. I'm three of those four things. You're three?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So the same pattern answer.
Yeah.
So the ones who are the small business owner or the human or the consultant, they will use those four things as excuses.
Yeah.
They won't write the check. And that's why they'll always stay where they're at, which is fine. That's most of the world. That's fine.
It's great.
The ones like you and Gino, they'll do whatever it takes. And then you and Gino, which I talk about all the time, you added the fifth, or Gino added the fifth, which is addiction.
Addiction, yep.
And I'm addicted to my family and growing my network. Many visionaries are addicted to alcohol, drugs, cheating on spouse,
work,
revenue. That is not me.
Yeah.
Right. Employee count, whatever that
Yeah.
is.
Yeah. You're right. I love it. They build their businesses on trauma.
They built, so what a visionary actually, I don't know if I talked to Gino about this, but what a true visionary actually is, not a silver spoon, but a true visionary, they're the most damaged people, the very most, three or four of those four things.
Yeah.
It definitely addicts as well.
Yeah.
But they have the best coping skills. So they have the highest IQ, highest EQ. A regular person can't, they can't, they're not wired like this.
Right. The resilience is off the charts.
The resilience, the risk taking. Me personally, my intuition is like, it's just,
there you go.
Talk to Doug Brackman, Dr. Doug Brackman, driven.
Yes, absolutely. Okay, he's been on the podcast.
Of course. So if you haven't taken it, iamdriven.com.
Great, it's a assessment. 5 minute.
Yeah. Okay. See, this is what I'm right. Mindset attracts right. Network creates right. So anyway, I sent him my score and then I'm very, very thankful. He interviewed me and he's like, I've never seen a result like this. It was confusing to him. I'll text you mine and you text me yours if you have it. The okay. Typical human is a small gray circle, and then the typical driven, which I'm guessing you're mostly a big red circle, maybe a slightly hybrid. Mine looks like a J, and he was like really confused because like I'm less bored than an average human because I never leave my zone of genius. But basically because of the question you asked before.
Yeah.
And then I never get bored ever. Most visionaries are constantly bored. They're shiny object, shiny.
Yeah.
And then resilience off the charts, but intuition is like off the page,
mm-hmm.
which I'm guessing yours is too. I would think so.
Definitely.
Yeah.
You've mentioned numerous times about connecting visionaries,
yes,
to who are impacting the world.
Yes.
I don't know if I said that right.
Yeah.
Do you think in 10-year timeframes, and is this part of that?
No.
Well, how do you think?
The
connecting visionaries to serve humanity. That's what it is. Yeah.
Okay. So I am not a futurist ideator. I'm an activator, maximizer, achiever. Mm-hmm. Most of the people I talk to in GALLUP, Clifton Strength Finders, yeah, I see the world in numbers and keywords. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Most people don't. They don't see that. And then my wife's like, stop identifying people as numbers. But most visionaries are ideator futurists. So they're often future. Thank you for validating that. And then they have a mix of, so ideator futurists often wherever the 10-year time frame, but they have a mix of activator, maximizer, achiever. So they'll do something about it now. I just do something about it now. Okay, so I don't think in 10 years, but how I do think is something that one, that Earl Nightingale, success is progressive realization of worthy ideal. And then two, my sons are 9 and 11. Our youngest, Chase, who was, when he was 8, we were talking about bending time and IQ, which I guess is not a typical conversation, but that's what we talk about.
That's great.
And so Chase provided the single best definition of what life actually is that I've ever heard, ever. And all I do is talk to people like us. And this is how I think, in time. So Chase, who is a little version of Earl Nightingale, I don't say that lightly, but he is. So he considers life one long, great day. So yesterday is before you're born, tomorrow's after you die. And then there are only two ways to have a great long day. There are only two. He simplifies things like I do. So only two. One, create more living things. The fundamental purpose of any living thing is to create more living things. So that could be a child. It could be a foundation, a company, planting a tree. I don't know. It's life. If that wasn't number one, then we wouldn't, there'd be nothing. So I don't know if there's an, okay. And then two, this is where he's like a little Earl Nightingale. He said, do what you like to do and what you're good at and keep getting better at it.
Mm.
So I don't look at 10 years down the road. I just look at what I'm doing right now and just keep getting better at it. And that will create a better and better network, which creates better and better opportunities. It's very simple.
Okay. Your first business, you did not have a partner. You do not have a partner.
Correct.
Now you have a partner. Are you a partner person?
With the right people, yes.
Mm-hmm. Can you talk about that and how you identified that? Because this is a big challenge.
Most important, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And hopefully I've slowed down enough in this interview, where, because many times I talk really fast, but these are really important.
Your pace is perfect.
Okay, good. Usually I'm like, okay. So one of the chapters in Epic Life is find your babs or have your babs find you.
Okay. Okay. So not everybody knows what strategic coaching is, so you're going to have to explain that.
Correct. That's why okay. So Babs. So Babs is Babs Smith, who is the co-founder of Strategic Coach. I'm very grateful to be in that. ELEAP and Strategic Coach are incredibly collaborative. I met Gina Wickman in Strategic Coach. And Dan Sullivan is the co-founder of Strategic Coach. He and Babs are married, and then they're partners in Strategic Coach. So without Babs, there is no company. There's no company. Okay, so there's no company. And so as you said, my first company, with Mike Colby, it literally means I've got this. I'm totally fine with that. We have some freelancers. For second company, SaaS platform Mastermind, I can't build. I knew I couldn't build that. So I was talking to Dan virtually during Abundance 360, which is another amazing mastermind. Very grateful to be in that.
Peter Diamandis.
Yes. And very grateful he wrote for it for Epic Life. Doesn't usually do that. So I'm thankful. Yeah. Okay. So this was during COVID. I was talking to Dan off in a chat in Zoom. I go, I need to find my Babs. I can't build it. So he's like, well, the trick is having your Babs find you. I'm like, oh, that's a good idea. I'm not an ideator, but I know if there is a good idea. I'm like, I'll do that. Strategic Coach has a tool called an impact filter, where you write things that have to be, these are the things that need to happen for you to, for things to work out. And then I started sending that out to some folks that I knew, trusted. One of them was Mark Fujiwara, who's in San Francisco. We had never met in person, but we had talked virtually like this. And he saw it and he goes, oh, that's a good idea. Let's do that. I'm like, okay. And so, again, we've met two times in person. The Epic Life book is how all of that came together.
Mm-hmm.
And then success is progressive realization of a worthy ideal. My wife, we've been together almost 20 years, have been married 15. And she's been around enough people like us now that it finally osmosed into her. And she's like, you know what? I don't want to be full-time pediatrics anymore. I want to phase out of that and be COO of your newest company. So that was 4 months ago. And whenever this comes out, 6 months ago, five months ago.
Right,
yeah. And she's a machine. She's an integrating machine. So there's actually two Babs. I have two Babs. And I'm sure. And then my wife just hired her first Bab. She hired an assistant to help her. So it's like, it's super interesting to see it. Again, I'm not thinking out 10 years from now. I'm thinking what's happening now. And you just keep getting better and better and better and better at it. And that's the magic of life, is to see what happens with that intense focus.
How many lives do you think you'll impact with your SaaS program?
No idea. So that's a number. Okay. I'm always amazed when someone writes like, I want to impact a billion lives, or I want to create a trillion dollar network, whatever. Like, yeah. I don't understand that stuff. Here's what I mean by that.
Yeah.
I only have two 10Xs in life, only two. One, experiences in life with my family. If you have a good family life, you have a good life. It doesn't matter if you're a visionary or not. If you have a good family life and you don't have a good life, I want to meet that person. Good family life, not a good life. Introduce me to that person. I want to meet them. I've never have, but. And then two, network on a global level. When you're constantly building your network on a global level, it creates endless opportunities for your network and for yourself. Mm-hmm. What that number is, that's immaterial. To me, that's a wrong number. The only number I care about is spending time with my family. That's really the main number by far.
I appreciate your perspective on all this. This is good. Okay. Yep. So let's wind it down here. Any final advice that you might give to an early stage entrepreneur?
The most important thing during early stages, and I started to, if I can answer in two ways, if that's helpful. If it's helpful, the first book I wrote called Epic Business, it's how to build a global company with zero business background that partners with visionaries. And then Chris Voss wrote, I'm sure you know Chris, but
he wrote,
he wrote the four for that one. Yeah. The two most important things in that, one, when you start a business, it takes 2 full years to really figure it out. Not a year, not 6 months, not a year and a half, 2 full years. Okay. It's not a quick fix. It's just not. Two, as important, if not more important. Frankly, to me, I think it's more important. But for someone just starting, that 2 year thing might actually be more helpful. But, and I think what will happen is at the 2 year mark, folks will start to see this, maybe a little before that. But to me, the most important thing is only partner with folks who look at things as investments, not costs. Only partner with folks who look at things as investments, not costs.
Yeah, it's great philosophy. Okay, you just prompted one more question for
me. Yep, of course I did.
You, for both of your books, you had some higher profile names who were willing to take their most valuable asset and share it with you, which is their time.
Yes.
Their mental energy.
Yes.
They wrote forewords for your book.
Yes.
Chris Voss and Peter Diamandis.
Yes.
I'm thinking about the early stage entrepreneur and any barriers that they may have in their way in terms of reaching out, whether it be to that big client or that big name.
Nope.
Go explain.
No.
Break down the barrier for them.
There is no barrier for a visionary, risk taker, resilience. There is no barrier. They're their own barrier.
That's your own barrier.
If you look at reaching out to someone as a cost, not an investment, then you're not a visionary. You're not.
Yeah.
You're a small business owner, which is fine.
Right.
I don't resonate with that. I never have.
I love it. Justin, man, thank you so much for taking the time to chat with me today. This was awesome.
You are a tremendous simplifier and interviewer. Very
thank you so much.
Welcome.
And to all the amazing entrepreneurs listening today, I greatly appreciate you spending time with Justin and I. And as always, I wish you much love and much gratitude.